Call this meeting to order. Please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can I have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Deedy.
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Here.
Councilmember Edelman.
She's excused.
Councilmember Stout.
Here.
Councilmember Wisnowski.
He's excused.
Councilmember Nelson.
Here.
Councilmember Page.
He's excused. All right, so we are new business.
Yes.
And Brenda will discuss, unless we want to go right into...
No, I think you have your items.
Yeah. So Brenda will discuss resolution number 19-13-21 and 19-11-29.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Deedy and Council. Recently, we were made aware that Voice of the Valley is no longer a paper that can be used as our official newspaper of record because they do not meet the qualifications of RCW 6516.020. They don't hold their permit any longer for delivering to folks within this zip code. Any longer, they just provide free papers at certain areas within the city. Therefore, we needed to go out and advertise for bids. It was a short advertisement time frame. It was just a couple of days. Luckily, there are really only two papers of record within Black Diamond zip code that would meet the requirements of the official newspaper per RCW 6516020, and that was the Seattle Times, and then Sound Publishing, which would be the one that we would have, would be the Enum Clock Courier Herald. So I solicited bids, and we did receive bids, which are in your packet from both papers. The lowest bid on for cost was the Seattle Times. And one of the big differences with them for being the low bidder was they do not charge for the affidavits that are required by law to state that those legal publications were published on those dates. Sound Publishing charges $21 for their affidavits. Their publishing cost was just a little bit lower, but as you can see, there is almost a $20 difference for the same advertisement to be published. So there are a couple of differences. There really is, I talked to our legal, you know, do we have to go with the lowest bidder? We don't have to go with the lowest bidder. We just have to go with a paper that we feel is going to get our news out to the public. One of the advantages for the Seattle Times, they are a daily newspaper. Therefore, the turnaround to get things published is much quicker. Whereas Sound Publishing is a weekly newspaper, so you have some lag for publishing. The other big difference is, like I said, the affidavit. Seattle Times is not charged for the affidavit. Sound Publishing charges $21 for each publication that I publish on top of the ad cost. The Courier Herald is delivered weekly in select neighborhoods within Black Diamond with about 1,358 copies being delivered in our zip code. Seattle Times circulation for this zip code is 316 paid subscriptions, so much less than what the Seattle or Sound Publishing is, the Courier Herald. I didn't want to make a recommendation because this is really your guys' choice. So you'll see both in the resolution and the ordinance, I put both papers in there. You guys can decide who you feel would best represent the news of the city and where you would like the official legal bids or legal publications to be published within the city. We are on a time frame. It does have to be done tonight because we have budget documents that need to be published per RCW for our budget and also the public hearings for them. And I need to advertise for those on November 1st is when I need to send those.
All right, so do we have any discussion on Councilmember Stout?
My initial thought is that it would be better to go with the Courier Herald because it has a broader publication in the city. If it says 1,300 or so copies, I think we have about 1,500 households. So that's almost everyone who's getting a newspaper. So the implication would be that if we use the Seattle Times, which is a little bit less expensive, it wouldn't reach people easily. They would obviously have to go online or go to the library or borrow their neighbor's newspaper or something. And that just doesn't make sense to me in the, what we're trying to do is keep the public informed of everything that needs to come to their attention as far as legally or job postings or whatever. So I think the somewhat less expensive posting for the Seattle Times is kind of a washout by the fact that it's not reaching as many people as the other publication would be. So I would just, unless somebody has better ideas than I do, I would go right to the Courier-Herald.
I wanted to bring up that when we are advertising public works projects, we advertise in the Seattle Daily of Journal Commerce, because that's where contractors are going to look for public bids. We still advertise in our local official paper of record, but really to get the word out to contractors, we use Seattle Daily Journal of Commerce.
And that's for hiring?
No, for advertising for bids for projects.
So my thought was, along with Councilmember Stout, is that the majority of people in the city of Black Diamond are going with the Courier Herald. It's local news. It gives you an in-depth of what's going on within our region, whereas I think the Seattle Times is regional, national at times, if not always. So it isn't really in-depth on what's happening in the city of Black Diamond or within our neighboring cities unless some tragics happen or controversy is going on, then we're in the Seattle Times. Also, the sound publishing is also quite readily available for residents that don't pay. You can get it. I've seen it at the antique store. I've seen copies at the bakery, at City Hall, at Oshio's, at the library, at many places where residents can grab a copy for free. So that's also accessible, whereas the Seattle Times has 316-page subscriptions. Just shows that residents aren't necessarily interested in what the Seattle Times is publishing, but they are interested in what your local newspapers are publishing and what they have to say about local issues here.
I do have another question. Brenda, do you know what we were paying for Voice of the Valley?
It's pretty comparable.
So somewhere around
these. It is, yeah. It's very comparable to these prices. They were not charging for affidavits. Their affidavits were free, so that was a big difference between Sound Publishing last time, who we solicited, and then the Voice of the Valley, and then they were the low bidder. Voice of the Valley was because they didn't charge for their affidavits.
Councilmember
Nelson? I'm not a fan of either paper. I think the numbers are skewed because they give so many free papers, so many locations. When you're getting 15, 20 people, locations give you stacks of papers, it skews the numbers. I do agree that the local paper is better than the Seattle Times, however, I prefer a third option, just my opinion. I think that we need to focus on, the Enumclaw paper is the Enumclaw paper. We don't have a Black Diamond paper. The only difference over Enumclaw and Seattle, the ones that pay actually read it, the free ones get it for one or two articles, and they I used to work for the Evening Journal. And papers not very pages. You know, they get them for other things than reading. And so I think the numbers are skewed, and actually, how many people read them over who get them. If you bring 1,300 into the city, it doesn't mean they're being read. But I will go with the majority here because I just wish we had an option.
Okay, Councilmember Olivey.
I'm seeing the numbers here for the copies of Black Diamond's receiving, and I feel like if people are receiving that amount of papers at the 1,300, plus it's being consistent. You don't want to, I feel like I wouldn't want to interrupt what was already being, what's happening. And I think with the Sound Publisher, you know, when it comes with the Enumclaw Courier, it's an Enumclaw school district. We're Enumclaw school district. It publishes a lot of, like, just local, even our communities and families and stories about our kids in Enumclaw and, you know, whatnot. So I feel I'm more in favor of the Sound Publisher publishing than I am with the Seattle Times. So I guess it's more local stuff. I feel like the city likes the more local information.
So also, just so everybody knows, that the Voice of the Valley is somewhat a paper that we use right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in my discussion with Brenda earlier, that the city will still, on November 1st, continue to advertise in the Voice of the Valley just because that's what everybody is used to, and we don't want to miss any opportunity for public hearings or ordinances that people might not know that the city changed papers. So that will still be added in there.
Just on November 1st.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and will there be an announcement in that paper that we're changing our official paper?
There usually isn't. We've never done that before, but we can ask about having them put something in the legal ads, letting them. Well, we publish the ordinance in the newspaper, mm-hmm. which designates that's our next action that you guys will be doing.
And that would go into the Voice of the Valley.
I'm publishing them both so that we get the word out. And that would be the ordinance. And we publish it by title, which does state who we're going to go with.
So any other discussion? So I make a motion to adopt resolution number 19-1321, accepting the bid from Sound Publishing and designating them as the official city newspaper. I have a motion.
Second.
All in favor? Did you have a question?
Just curious on the rules of adopting, and I feel like I'm a little confused about a work study versus a council meeting.
This isn't a work study. This is a special meeting.
Special meeting. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I guess that being said, one more point about that would be that we are not giving an opportunity for public comment tonight. So I know that I'm just saying that this is a
special,
that it needs to be done tonight.
Yes.
Is there a way that the public could comment and we might change our minds?
They can. It's up to you guys if you want to allow them to. They can comment on any item that's on the agenda. So if you'd like to take public comment, you're more than welcome to.
So we would just have to, if there was enough public comment that, you know, things that we haven't thought about tonight.
Yep. You could just ask them tonight.
Do it again and make another change.
At a later date? We'd have to, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you could also have public comment tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, you could. It's your guys' agenda. You can ask to take public testimony tonight if you want to hear from anybody, if they have any.
Well, seeing that we only have three,
no, every
four,
person is important.
Five.
I think that we should open it up to public comment.
I agree.
We vote, honestly, since this is a special meeting, not a work study, the only other thing about that is it wasn't announced on the agenda that there would be public comment. So. I mean, I think it may be splitting hairs, but the whole point of the newspaper is to keep our public informed, mm-hmm. and the citizens, I think, probably have the right to say what they have to say.
Okay, one minute. Can I let the record show that Councilmember Page is here? Nelson.
What makes the importance of tonight? Why do you have a meal like a week and go in public comment?
The importance for tonight is that we don't have another meeting before I have to send publications to the newspaper on November 1st. Our next meeting is not until November 7th after tonight. No, RCW says the final budget hearing has to be published the first 2 weeks in November, and so I wouldn't have a paper of record, official paper of record, to publish that in. And I wouldn't want to do it in Voice of the Valley since they don't qualify anymore.
So is it the wish of the council then to go ahead and open up for the public to make a comment on these two issues?
Do we need to vote on that, changing the agenda, or can we just do
it? No, we can just do it. So is there any public wishing to speak on behalf of these two ordinances for the newspapers? Please raise your hand. Yep.
Okay, Carolyn Hart.
Oh, can it
very
just
noisy.
Can
Carolyn Hart, Black Diamond. I think it's good to use local vendors. I think that's an additional point in his favor. And I think that, yeah, I'd probably look at the Courier Herald more than Seattle Times. Okay.
Was there anyone else that wanted to comment? Andy?
Andy Williamson, City Black Diamond. I think this goes to a deeper conversation that the council, as you're moving forward with your legislative agenda items, there needs to be a change in the RCW. It's a bigger issue that ACW, Association of Washington City, should undertake, because there are communities that don't have a paper, but they're required to do this. For example, Clay Elum and South Clay Elum. Their papers come from Ellensburg and aren't even delivered in Clay Elum. We could face that situation here. As the Voice of the Valley readership dwindles, Kerr Herald dwindles, there's got to be a mechanism through AWC to legislatively change the action so that the either could be done online, another way that we communicate to our citizens, because they're moving away from newspapers as we do. So I would encourage the Kerr Herald, as a citizen who reads that paper, but it is an outgoing technology that we've got to figure out a way as a city working with the AWC to amend that RCW, or how that ultimately will be resolved. It's a bigger issue.
That would be a good thing to bring up at the Public Issues Committee with all the regional council members, mayors, city staff that get together, and whoever's on that committee at the beginning of next year could bring that forward and have a discussion. Councilmember Page, did you want to add any input before we've already had a motion and a second? Okay. All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion passed. Okay, so we're on to, Agenda Bill 19-1129 that Brenda will also be addressing.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem Deedy, council members in the public. What this ordinance does is amends Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 1.20.010, where we actually designate who the city's official newspaper is. So based off the last motion on agenda item number one, again, I put both papers in here because I didn't know which one you guys were going to choose. We would then replace it with Sound Publishing. So you guys would be designating Sound Publishing in the code as the official newspaper of the city.
Okay, do I have any discussion? Motion? So I make a motion to adopt ordinance number 19-1129, amending Black Diamond Municipal Code Section 1.20.010 regarding designation of official newspaper.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed. All right, so now we are on to the budget with Mae Miller and Seth Boucher.
Okay, thank you, Council. Is that on? Okay. Tonight, we've already had the public workshop for the general fund and all of the funds, departments in the general fund. Tonight, we're going to deal with the rest of the budget, which is really special revenue funds, and I'll go over each one of those, and utility funds and capital funds. So Seth and I will take turns going over the 2020 proposed budget for those funds. So if you go into page four, the special revenue fund is the one that's designated in accounting rules that can only be used for one purpose, and it's very specific what that purpose is in some legislative or either local or state legislation is deemed, that's how it is. And so the accounting recommends the street fund is one of those funds because it can only be used for street. The revenue, which is the first group of numbers there, primarily comes from street gas tax. And the gas tax is a per capita revenue that we get from the state based on the amount of money that they collect for gas tax. And since people are now shifting over to either transit or electric cars, the amount of money that they distribute, it's also determined then by population. There's more people, less money. That means this is going down each year. And municipal research sends us how much per capita, so I calculate that out and every year put it in the budget, and it never comes in that high. So each year it's been increasing. That's line three, the state gas tax. So we have to be concerned that our costs aren't really going down for street, but the revenue side is. We also get a small amount of money from right-of-way permits from development. And last year I had budgeted $14,000, but through June we'd only received $3,700. So I don't want to over-budget that. I want to be cautious and collect more money than that. So I reduced the number a little bit for right-of-way permits. That's very unknown every year. And then there's some miscellaneous revenue, which is primarily interest income, but there's some other miscellaneous permits that come in. The interest income has actually gone up a little bit, so we get some from that. And there's a few other miscellaneous things with the development that have caused that to increase. So overall, the whole increase on our real revenue is $3,824. That's not a lot. So we have to subsidize this fund to give it enough money just to pay the staff and the few costs we have in the street fund. So right now we have the TBD, which is the $20 car tab fee. And last year I thought we'd get about $120,000, but it's coming in less than that. And even through September, it still was coming in less than that. So I reduced that a little bit to what I believe will really come in. Also, if Tim Eyman's initiative were to pass, we would lose that source of funding. And since we still didn't come up with enough money to cover the expenditures, I'm proposing that we go back and transfer in some REIT II money, real estate excise tax money. The state allows up to $100,000 for each REIT real estate excise transaction. We try to use that over in capital projects because some of his capital projects are really only maintenance, so that really limits what we can do on capital projects if we have to do it just to do our normal operation in the street fund. And Seth will talk a little bit in a bit, but, you know, that's all the striping and signs and the power for the lights and the snow removal. I mean, these are real core things that I don't think citizens want to do without, and I don't think our city wants to do without. So if that were to pass, we could have $170,000 gap because we shouldn't really be transferring any money to subsidize that. Or if we do, we need to really determine where that money's coming from and designate it. So every year we have continuing revenue to support this. It's not just unique to our city. Every city in the state of Washington is facing this same, how do you fund transportation? And there are some options that are out there. There used to be a street utility tax that you could do. Very few cities have that. Seattle had it, and it was declared that they didn't do it correctly, and so they had to reverse that and give money back. So I don't think we want to really address it, but I want to bring up that if this vote were to pass and we were to lose this revenue, we'd have a serious problem, and we'd really have to look at options for revenue in the future. Down on the expenditure side, all I want to say is that each year we look at the allocation of time spent, and that will cause a little change in allocation or a slight change in benefit if they were to switch from married to family or children, whatever happens. So there's very minor changes there. Very minor changes in supplies, but Seth can maybe talk about in the street fund what mainly that $113,000 covers and what might have caused the increase.
Okay. The only area that we really bumped up a little bit, so $3,000, was funding for tree removal, dangerous tree removal. So it's going from $5,000 to $8,000. So everything else is pretty much the same.
What, a large expenditure is the power bill that we pay for to keep our streetlights on.
Yes, that's like $29,000.
Yeah, that's just one line, you know, of this $113,000. So, I mean, there are things that, unless you want to turn out your streetlights, I mean, these are serious questions. So we'll just have to wait and see how this, we're planning that it's, that we are going to have the revenue and it'll continue next year. We still need to continue to look long-term at ways to continue long-term funding for the street fund. We can come back later with options.
There's other things. Well, there's
six and a half.
Increase in labor costs, fuel costs.
Yeah.
Basic inflationary costs.
Supplies. You know, some of the supplies didn't go up that much, but there's been, you know, other costs that do go up routinely that
legal,
will help.
Legal went up by 1,000.
Yeah, each one just kind of is a little piece.
Insurance.
Is the breakdown, do we have a...
He's got a line item detail, and he brought it tonight to look at what are every dollar of all that increase of the 15. I think we also put some a little extra money in there for consultants for transportation planning.
Yeah, that's the same as last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we continue some for that.
I could have access to? Or?
Yeah, if you, and you could stop by,
although
Seth, and I have
we
it.
We don't budget down to that level.
Well, I'm just wondering where the...
It's fine-grained detailed information down to things like what we have in street signs, striping, traffic signal maintenance, things like that. We have a couple of signals.
Yeah, and surely, you know, stop by, you know, and we have access to all the levels of details or anything.
Okay.
So let's see. The next one is the fire impact fees, and the fire impact fees were created in 2012, and that was to try to have development help pay for future fire costs. And but it's very specific what that can pay for and how it can be used. So each development permit that comes in pays that fire impact fee, and we set it aside here, and then it can be used for future capital costs that only pay a piece of the specific items. There was a study done that showed what share of growth, what is continuing residents, and what share of the new growth will be when they designated this fund. So it's to continue to pay for towards the new fire station, towards equipment in the new fire station. So we're setting that aside. We're trying to build, and each permit that comes in provides some funds for that. So by the end of this year, we should have $780,000 total accumulated. And then working with Andy on and the developer on how some of that is distributed. Probably there will be some distribution of that during the next year. And so that's what we included in the budget. Transportation Benefit District is our $20 TBD fees, and we had to set up a separate fund just to say we get all the money from TBD fees and interest, and we transfer it over to the street fund. It was just a tracking thing they recommend when you set these accounts up. So it's just a flow-through account to directly receive the fees we get from the state. Every month we get a distribution from the state of all the people that pay in. There's about a two-month lag. But I really thought with the new residents it would go up, and it hasn't. Every single month it's been below even what it was last year. So not a lot, you know, like 2% or something, but I thought it would grow. Traffic mitigation fees. These are fees developers pay to improve traffic safety as part of the requirement of their permit to mitigate. An example is the school. When they built, they put some money in for specific traffic safety things, and it sets here until that capital project is ready to go, and then we transfer out to that project. There, some of the fees also are for some development of the development traffic safety improvements. So we accumulate that here and then only use it for those projects who qualify under that. And then we have internal service funds, which means one fund charges another for some specific purpose. So we have only one kind of fund there, and it's for equipment replacement. And we're starting to see probably and building replacement in the future. We have it broken into three parts. The first part is for fire, and we set that up originally to replace their vehicles and equipment and everything. We already have that funded last year in our budget for their vehicles. So this is the carryover cash that we had originally set up in the fund of $38,000 that can be used for that in the future if we need to. The public works equipment, they do a long schedule of every year when they're going to replace different pieces of equipment to make sure we have enough cash. And then each department in the city transfers in water, sewer, and storm, normally transfer in $10,000 each. And then the general fund transfers in $7,000 for the parks and cemetery equipment, mostly mowers and stuff they buy. We accumulate those funds, and then I'll go to the next page. Off of their schedule, we show the pieces of equipment that they're planning to replace next year, which is some various mowers, and then there's a budget in there for some computers and radios and a wood chipper. I don't know if you needed to say anything about any of those. We did, no. Yes. So anyway, that's what we have budgeted next year. So,
why do you need a wood chipper?
Yeah.
Just saving costs, disposing of wood debris.
Trees and limbs.
Spread and blow it out wherever the
dump fees.
Councilmember Deedy, so just a reminder everybody that to raise your hand and be called, because people that listen on the audio and when Brenda tries to do the typing, she's not sure who was speaking because our voices kind of start sounding a lot alike. One thing I know that we have all those trees coming down off of Railroad, and I'm assuming that the wood chipper will be very handy out there for branches or whatever that's coming down as well. I'm not sure how much the gentleman out there is cleaning up, but I would think that a wood chipper would help in that area as well.
Yeah, it may.
Yeah.
Specifically to that project, they are required to stack the limbs in tight decks along the old railroad avenue. So this was basically with quick, but down to twig level, they're not set up or bid to handle that type of stuff. So there may be other cleanup that we'll have to see how it looks when we're done and what else might be done with either city groups.
But when
and that type of thing, maybe a cheaper
one. Councilmember Page?
So just to clarify, so mm-hmm. this is one wood chipper that we're getting,
yeah.
And it's $45,000?
We haven't gone out to bid yet. It was an estimate that we put in.
I mean, I know it's not a residential
wood chipper, but
I'm just, we're just surprised.
Councilmember Oldsby.
So with the company that we bought into or we became a member of with the fire, is that something we can look into finding either used or, not used, but, you know, that recycling portion of it? It was a company that we are members of.
I think Alveston.
Thank you. That could be something we can look into as a wood chipper that might be less costly than that. Is that something we can look into?
Yeah, for sure. Like I say, this is
a
budget, not a bid. Right. And if we go back in history on what we budgeted for equipment, we've mm-hmm. come in
under budget every single year.
The last section is police equipment, and that's primarily for their cars, and that's where we received the loan in 2017 for four of the cars. And our capital plan that we adopted shows that we're going to do another vehicle next year, or another vehicle from this fund next year, from REAP 1, and also one from the general fund to go with the new officer. So the capital plan had one. We've added one more. So this just shows the money coming in and then the purchase of those. There's still a small amount of money for radios, police radios, for Jamie if they need those for cars or anything for radios. That's all we have used this fund for. The next is the utility funds, which are a fund that's more business-like, according to our state auditors, in nature, where you're required to have fees that pay your costs. And so you need to operate more like a business in this fund. And not only that, they recommend that you have 3 months' worth of savings in your ending fund balance to carry over till the following year. So it's a little bit different than just your general fund. So what's happening in the water fund is the building activity, our basic water bills that are going out, now we have more and more customers. We're selling more and more water. But last year, or when I began this with the new businesses or the new development that was coming in, I didn't realize how much water we would get from irrigation and hydrants. So I kind of under-budgeted the area for the amount of water that we would sell. Although I've adjusted that down a little bit, but the number of customers that we have every single month, we add probably 20 customers, 20 different permits. And there aren't houses sold necessarily, but that's a new home they're building. It's got a meter. And so we're very busy adding those meters. Once those meters are added, they get the first basic monthly charge, whether they're using water or not. So we're getting increased revenue from the growth. We have to charge for all those meters. So we're getting a lot more money just for charging the developers for buying the meter and installing the meter. So those revenues also have gone up. But the expenditure side on the other side to buy them has gone up. So not a big profit on that area. And then the last part of the revenue there is Palmer Coke and Cole agreed to help provide our debt service when we did our public work trust loans many years ago. So every year they give us around a little less than $100,000, and each year it decreases a little bit because of our interest rate. And it helps pay our debt, which is line 9 below. The city has a debt, public works debt of $314,000. They pay $95,486 next year. And they pay us before we pay the debt. We pay it to Washington State Public Works Trust Fund. On the expenditures, Seth can talk a little bit about that, but it was primarily allocations. As we looked at where they're really spending their time because of all the kind of the new things we have in water, cross connection, whatever, some of that, and all the meter installations and all the labor that they're doing. We did some adjustment as we look at the funds each year where the time is really spent. And the supplies certainly carry the cost of some new meters. And the service and charge, maybe Seth can go over up what some of those primary expenditures are and where the increases were.
The primary increases are in about five areas. One being just purchasing meters. So we budgeted, the budget in 2019 was 50, and we're budgeting 100,000. So that's 50,000 of the increase. Another major new expense for the water utility. We have a lot of capacity water, future water capacity with the city of Tacoma. We haven't turned the space yet, but we we have that capacity sitting there for the last 20 years. It hasn't cost us anything to have that capacity sitting on the shelf. That doesn't mean Tacoma hasn't borne a cost of maintaining that asset and being ready to service us at any time. That's why water utilities charge a base fee, because whether you're using water or not, maintaining the water utilities so that when you do open the spigot, water comes out, there's a cost to maintain. Much of our expenses are fixed costs. According to our agreement with Tacoma, they have the right to set rates. So they, for the first time, are adjusting and have let us know that they're going to be changing the way they bill their wholesale customers so our bill for our base fee, they're going to ramp it up. They're going to give us the whole base fee the first year, but we'll make us pay 50% of it next year. That will be $76,000. So in the following year, it would be $152,000. So that's a significant new expense to the water utility.
Councilmember Page. So does that show up in line 6, services and charges?
Yes, yes. And when I redo this, we'll pull it out of there and add an extra line to show the Tacoma, the new Tacoma, because that's significant, okay. And it will be even more significant next year.
Okay. And so, Seth, would it be reasonable to think that, like, line 5 and 6 in some way kind of track with the revenue line 6? The meter purchases, setting fees and stuff.
Yes.
So there's a good relationship
there. And we increased a little bit for professional service to help in some of the areas that he needs in water.
That's an area that increased, but comparatively, that's fairly small. It's like $5,000.
Yeah.
Insurance has gone up, are purposely trying to get our repair and maintenance costs in all our funds and wanting to get those increased. So I increased that by $5,000. And let's see. Another area, which is basically whenever revenue goes up, a lot of our taxes go up. Because they're based on
revenue.
Gross receipts. So our utility taxes and state taxes go up when revenue.
Good point. So I did want to mention line 11, even though we have the revenue above and these expenditures just before line 11, it appears that we have an excess of cash that can go towards capital projects. And so you can see that in 2018 we transferred out $125,000, that's on line 11. And this year, we're going to transfer out $125,000. Next year, with the increase in revenue, we'll be able to transfer out $175,000 to our capital. And we'll go over how that will be used when we go over the capital in a few minutes. So that's good that that was always the goal we pressed. We had rate increases a few years ago that said once we start growing, we'll be able to put money aside for capital, because when we did the rate increase, we were barely covering expenditures. Mm-hmm. So now we're finally seeing that growth and seeing us be able to help. And in addition, next year, if our cost is $170,000 for water, probably there may not be anything or not as much to transfer out. So it's good we have that in place.
Councilmember Deedy, so quick question, Seth, on the Tacoma water. This is the first time they've charged us,
yes.
Correct?
So yes.
And we've had Tacoma water sitting on the horizon for
years and
10
years,
and years or so?
Probably more.
More like 20. Since 2003 or 4 is when we purchased the purchased the water.
And we didn't pay anything.
Right. So then they came back sometime this year and said, hey.
Not only us, but other cities too.
Other cities as well.
So what they did is they wanted to make a zero balance, so they lowered their commodity rate and added a base fee. So people that are using a lot of Tacoma's water actually would get a reduction in their bill. So cities like Fife, that they don't have any water of their own, their bill went down.
That's kind of good because their rates were higher than ours, so it'll be good when and if we start using that it'll, if they continue that, the rates might be more reasonable.
You know, but I think it was kind of an equity issue of the people were just sitting on capacity and other people that were using the asset and
were paying
all the rate of the maintenance.
Okay. So if you go to page 13, this is our debt, and we have two Public Work Trust Funds loans. One was issued in 2006. It will be paid in full by 2022, so we don't have too much longer to do that one, a few years. Our payment is $11,250 next year with $169 interest. We only had 0.5% interest on those original loans. Very good rate. So we don't have many years left. The other one was when we bought the additional water for the city and some of the lines and all that stuff. We pay $295,000 on that one issue, and that's the one where Palmer pays in a percentage of that each year. And it will be paid off in 2024. So that big debt payment will go away in 2024. So that'll be good, too, as we go forward and have more costs. Sewer on page 14. The sewer fund is kind of in the opposite position. It's in the same spot water was in a few years ago where, our rates, originally there was excess cash in the reserve, so we did not increase our rates because you're not supposed to have extra cash in these funds. You're supposed to pay your bills and have a reasonable cash. So we pulled down the cash by transferring in to subsidize the revenue every year. And now we pull down the cash, and the cash is like, it's getting down there where there's not going to be much more to pull down. So we need to really seriously increase those rates. We've contracted with Peninsula Consulting, Ashley Emery. He did our water rate increase a few years ago. He will be coming here November 14th for a work study, and he'll do a computer program to show different variations of rates and how different variations of growth can affect that. But I included in the budget an amount that might be like a 15% rate increase. Even though that's a high percentage, it's about $3 a month. So it's really needed to get this fund back in the shape it needs to be in. This year we transferred in, in 2017 we transferred in on line 7, $100,000 from the reserve. This year we transferred in $130,000. I'm hoping with that rate increase we'll only have to transfer in $85,000, but we've got to get it down so we're not transferring in anything out of the reserve and capital because it's really limiting anything that we can do and not meeting the state's requirement for fund balance. So we'll be going over all of that. If you look down at the bottom, and we have some growth in there as well, but the rates themselves need adjusted. Line 4 on the revenue is our revenue that we get to keep. Line 3 is the King County Metro sewer rate, and they charge everybody that is in their group of sewer customers, which is most cities in the south end, I think, and the north end too, a fixed fee per month per resident, and it's about $45. And our rate is about 22 something. So they raise their rates every 2 years. Last year it was a 2.5% increase. There is no rate increase for next year from Metro, only growth. So there's a little bit of growth in there, but we have to just turn around and pay that money to them. We collect it, pay it to them every single month.
So, Councilmember Dini, so just on the rate study for the sewer, when we did the one for the water, what was his name again?
Ashley.
Ashley. That was really informative. Mm-hmm. So if you can get as many citizens to come to listen to that, it really helps to understand why the rate goes up. It's really informative, so I highly recommend everybody come and watch that. study.
He actually loads our budget, and he goes over every single line of what kind of an inflation or what would cause that to increase or decrease or stay the same. He actually does it line by line by line, and then he puts out the growth so that you can see what it is now without growth and then what we are at level of growth now and if it even increases or decreases growth. So it's
What's
quite
the name of this company, Peninsula?
Consulting, I think it is.
Peninsula Financial Consulting, I think you're right.
So, and we have that on to take the rate then for a public hearing November 21st. No, December. I think December 5th and be adopted December 19th. So it takes a while because we have to go through this study and have you guys' recommendation before we can have a public hearing because I don't know what to tell the citizens to review. So once I know kind of a recommendation, I can put all the financials together, get them to Brenda for the newspaper for the public hearing, and then have the vote. Stormwater. Wait, did I? Let's see. There any expenditures? Did I look at expenditures? We have a little bit of expenditure increase.
On sewer, it's looking at the major increases in sewer are related to growth. So, yes, revenue is going to going up, so taxes go up. Primary, but we're not increasing any level of service on basically expenditures in the sewer. It's just continue to maintain the asset.
Okay. Any questions on that? Okay. Stormwater utility, page 15. Stormwater, we did a rate increase last year, and that's helped. That and the growth, I think we're looking good. Not fantastic, but we're definitely have improved the picture in this fund. The revenue, we haven't had a stormwater fund long, and when we last looked at the rates for stormwater, we had no capital reserve at all. And we still really don't have a reserve, but with the rates that they increased last year, I think in a few more years with this, we'll definitely have some capital that we can start building a better reserve for that fund.
There was one item that reduced cost, and that was we were able to use the Department of Ecology grant funding for our stormwater utility to fund a piece of equipment. So to pass that benefit along to the stormwater utility, the grant paid for the equipment, and we forego the $10,000 contribution to the equipment fund. For 2 years. So that brings that benefit to help fund.
Also in the revenue on the top line four, occasionally they have grants you can apply for. We did receive the rest of a grant this year. We got $24,902. And next year, there's a $50,000 grant, but it will start this year, so we'll use a little bit of that this year, and we estimate $37,000 will carry over to next year and get reimbursed by a DOE grant. And that's helpful, too. But we can't say that's always going to be there. That's why we need to really keep our rates steady. But I think our rates are doing fine in this one.
Counselor Nelson? Page, being here, you guys have enough people. I need to go and get some medicine. I'm crashing hard. Love you guys, but I'm out.
Okay.
I'm going to go away. I just can't stay.
Thank you so much. Okay, we'll go on to the capital, and this will primarily be Seth, I think, because these are the projects that we're going to go over the projects that were in our capital plan. Every year we pull from our capital plan document that council, every 2 years they adopt. So we go and we pull all those. They're all numbered, and then we bring the copies of all those. But before we start the individual projects, we have two special capital funds, and again, that's the real estate excise tax that we get from every sale of every home and land in Black Diamond. And that is increasing because of the sale of homes. We thought we would sell more sooner, but now they're really starting to sell. I believe we sold 10 homes, but we sold all the plats and the parcels, which help make up for the homes that we budgeted. We thought we'd just sell a lot of homes really fast, but it takes a while to get them all built and advertised and sold and processed. So on the, we get 0.005, and then half of it is real estate one, real estate excise tax one, and I am estimating that'll be $335,000 next year. Through June, we'd already received $191,000. Sometimes in the fall, we don't get, because we get that every month, we don't see quite as many sales and go process through. And you don't want to over budget that, because then you might okay too many capital projects when the money didn't really come through. So again, you always want to over collect and not over budget. We just have a little investment interest, and that provides our income. These are funded primarily general government projects, but we use some of it to buy the police vehicle. So when it all goes to general government projects, and Seth will go over all those in a couple minutes. So really, on the next page, real estate excise tax 2 is the other half of the 0.005% of revenue, and it's almost identical. We split that revenue as it comes in, and it has interest income. So I budgeted the same amount. So we have $723,000 that's really available, I expect, by the end of next year. How we're going to spend it is public works capital projects on line 2 down below for $282,000, and that transfer to the street fund to keep the street fund operational.
So in read 2,
right.
On line 8, it looks like our the fund is getting, at the end of the year, we're
we still
saving a little more.
Yeah, we have available that could be budgeted, $341,104. But we'll go over all the projects, and you can look at that. But there is, we try to keep at least around $100,000 balance, so there's a little more available in that.
So just to clarify the difference between REIT 1 and REIT 2, it's how those funds can be used?
Yes, there is actually REIT 1 can be used to buy land and right away. REIT 2 can't. And so the city, when we first enacted this, started primarily using REIT 1 for general government projects, which also included park projects where sometimes you do land or right away, or even if it's a public works project, if we have to buy land, we need to buy it out of this fund. If it's not land purchase, but other, it can be street, water, sewer, other projects, then we use for REIT 2. So we did that kind of as a designation. That doesn't mean it always has to be used that way, but I would say most of the time it is. Now we'll go over the individual projects, since that's the extra worksheet that Seth handed out.
So on page 19, this kind of shows a list of all the projects on page 18, or page 19 and 20. You have this?
Yeah, the one in your booklet.
Okay. So I'm just going to be going down in this order, down through the projects, so starting with the Kinder Creek Trail, which is
that's right.
Kinder Creek Trail, which is this sheet. Okay. So there's a little project description. This project is and has struggled along over the years, primarily because of the lack of funding. And that we make a little progress each year trying to squeeze a $400,000 project into a $100,000 budget. So we continue to make progress. We continue to, the primary funding is the trail funds that we get about $10,000 a year, so that we get a little more revenue each year. So
we've accumulated,
opportunities and with property developing potentially next to it, it has given us some opportunity to get an easement to go around some wetland. Crossing the wetlands are about $1,000 a foot because we've got to put in very thin piles and elevated structures. So anyway, that project we want to continue to work on and see if we can get to the finish line next year. I'm not going to discuss the grant
matching.
Just setting some money aside for potential grant applications. And,
where you have
it's
to provide,
like a saving account
you
for
have to,
grant-funded projects.
When you have to match a grant to get the funding.
The Parks Comp Plan, we have $30,000 budgeted.
We moved that into the community development budget for Barb because she's going to try to begin working on that. So
okay,
we took
so
it.
It doesn't show.
Right.
Here.
We
so
took it out of the capital because it's more of just a plan, and we're trying to move more of those out of the capital. So this is really used when we're purchasing and doing really capital projects rather than just all the planning.
So that's good. It's funded through in-house staff.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so next year the goal is to start a parks plan.
Right.
Yes.
So that we can go out for grants and start moving forward on areas in the city that we can update our parks.
Yes. Once we have completed our parks plan and it's approved by the Recreation and Conservation Office in the state, then we would be eligible to apply for RCO funds.
Correct.
Andy? Mayor Pro Tem, I just want to give the caveat in there. It says, once the staffing levels improve, Barb Kincaid has still three people to still hire to fully get her department functioning. So I know your expectations, having worked for you for a long time, that I just want to understand that once the levels of employees are maintained in that department, then that would free Ms. Kincaid up to start into this, just so you had that expectation.
Yeah, so correct, Councilmember Deedy, correct. I mean, there is a lot of goals that I have in my mind, but I do understand that staff is short. But it would be nice just to get the parks plan going and at least start getting that to where the council and state have agreed, you know, on the plan and at least get that ready for going out for grants.
And we did budget some outside professional service to help her with some of that, but not enough to do a whole plan, but certainly to help give her some assistance in that area.
Next project is we've set aside $30,000 for improvements. Not improvements, I guess this is more maintenance projects. Deck replacement or refurbishment. Replacement of the gym HVAC.
Councilmember Deedy, so Brock Deedy is here who manages and runs the gym, so if he wanted to talk a little bit about it. But otherwise, the decking on the gym is being piecemealed together right now, so it really needs to be updated. I mean, it doesn't have to be as elaborate as it is now, but it does need some serious updating. To bring it, some of it to code and just for boards that are starting to rot. And Kevin's doing an awesome job getting in there and replacing. As soon as Brock lets him know, you know, hey, there's boards that need replaced, Kevin gets right in there and fixes that. So, but that is one of the maintenance issues there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's highlighted in the title.
Councilmember Stout.
I see there's a discrepancy on the chart. It says $30,000, and on the handout it says $20,000.
We updated that cost because when we originally did the capital plan, we didn't have the deck replacement in there.
So
we only had the HVAC.
$30,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't always agree with this.
This is a plan.
Document, and then what this we actually budget, we're getting closer. It's usually closer on the numbers.
And those budgets, again, are ballpark estimates. We haven't gone out to bid or, you know, really researched all these individual costs. And like Seth said, we usually come in under these costs. So that's good.
Replacing patrol car.
Oh, you got skate park.
Oh, skate park. The $10,000 is we're trying to hold the skate park together for the 20 years. We cannot get King County Community Development Block Grant money to replace it until we until we reach that 20 years. It takes continual maintenance to the screws keep, and what's happening is the structure underlying structure is rotting. So in the worst places, we're going to need to try, at least see what we can do with taking panels apart and redoing the structure, in the underlying structure with city staff. But so we put some money in there to try and hold this thing together.
And Councilmember Dean, and would that fall under, once we get the park plan updated and passed, then we can go out for grants to update that area out there?
If we use King County Community Development Block Grant funding, they don't have that that restriction. It just needs to be on your CIP. So, but the they don't. You commit to maintaining the asset for 20 years when this was funded originally by King County.
It shouldn't be too far from 20 years.
Timely, yeah.
But it's about 5 years to go.
Yeah.
We just got to get there.
And I did want to mention that next year is we'll be doing the update of the capital plan where Seth will put together projects for the next 6 years and bring it before you for many meetings where we'll review all of those. And so we'll be able to add new and change projects next year.
The next project is replacing a patrol car. There's 60,000 in there out of 3-1. I think you know what that was about. Number seven is to replace the new fire truck.
We have set some money aside. We have some REAP money going towards it, and then we'll have to determine the exact, whether that will be a grant, not a grant, but a loan or fire impact fees or combination or to fund that when it's delivered. And I upped the budget a little bit, again, not knowing what the tax and all the final costs on that would be. I have to just reach in the sky almost and pull up a number on there of what the final cost of that would be. But they, when they order it, I think he said it takes about 9 months for them to build it and get it delivered and certified and all that. So
the next project is replacing the fire it's a breathing apparatus and defibrillators. So someone from the safety committee probably knows more about that than I do.
So, Councilmember Didi, so both of these have expired. The fire department is currently using their equipment, but the cities have expired. And so those need to be purchased by the city. And so that's why they are on this CIP, right?
Okay.
Yep. Okay. And we're funding those entirely with REAP funds.
Next project on line 9 is funding improvements to the technology for the police, hardware, software.
No, it's police and general government, and that's all the costs we do every year of the servers and the security and
it's citywide
and the police also. It's all of the web stuff, all the things we're doing in the automation field. And the general government renovation, we had put like $30,000 in last year, and we're going to be coming back with a budget change because the things we've done have cost more than $30,000. So this year we put $60,000 in Kevin's budget, took it out of the capital because a lot of those, again, are more of a maintenance, and we don't want to overdo the maintenance out of this REIT because of limitations. So we moved $60,000 to Kevin's budget to do all kinds of different maintenance or equipment in the city. So we put it in the operating budget. In the general fund budget. And then the wayfinding.
Yeah, the last one under this section would be the wayfinding signs. So this planning department would take the lead on this project.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so Councilmember Oglesby and I had a meeting with Barbara Kincaid today, talked a little bit about the wayfinding signs and how excited Councilmember Oglesby and I were for this to be moving forward. We do need some signs and also hopefully help alleviate some of the traffic on 169, getting people to take other directions, other ways to get into the city, and hopefully also get some new citizens or people that are passing through our city to take a detour to say, hey, well, we didn't know that there was a regional park out this way. So they'll come through to the city and hopefully spend some money and get some more revenue coming in. But so I'm looking forward to this coming to fruition and helping our citizens find out what else is in the city to offer.
Okay, we referred to this earlier on the general street improvements, that the street fund does not have enough money to repair streets, yeah. So we're using REIT funds for street repairs. This year we're doing major patching up on Lawson Street.
We have grant matching, which we use a lot in the grants for streets, because usually those grants require a 30% match.
We have some grants out there that we won't know until November, sometime mid-November, whether we've got some transportation from the board grants. Downtown public parking, that's actually being deferred.
Councilmember Oglesby.
Can you help me understand
what's
being deferred?
I think it was staff time and funding.
There is some funds available if there were staff time to maybe begin some at least planning of what we need to do in that area.
There was some discussion at the staff level of whether this may be incorporated with a sub-area plan. So that may be that it may become a little bigger, but involve more than just parking.
So it's an option if there were interest in adding back some funds to that. That's why we're bringing these to you tonight. So if staff... that's why we're going over all those. If you feel there's a need and we want to put some money into that, there is some refunds available.
So I feel I'm kind of passionate in this downtown public parking and wanting some refunds put back in here for the fact that this is our historical downtown Black Diamond. This says Black Diamond. We have our bakery. We have our historical building, museum, the Eagles. It's where it gets the most attraction in public use, and in that fact, I feel that it's important to have the proper downtown, if you want to call it downtown, parking for our public and revenue and businesses down there. I think that there should be money set aside either to grow the parking lot, the safety of it, the crosswalk. I mean, there's a lot of activity around that area in the morning and the weekends with the bakery and whatnot, so I'm passionate about trying to in the future, if not this year or next year or whatnot, but look at our downtown historical area and creating more public use and parking and just in general. I mean, I think it needs it done.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so I agree with Councilmember Oglesby on leaving it on the CIP and putting some money in there. Mm-hmm. I realize staff is is swamped already, but it's also a place that brings revenue, mm-hmm. and if we can keep it on the radar, keep it above the water so that we know that this is an area that's also important to the council to, I know we've discussed about, maybe taking out a couple of gardens, little bump outs, and maybe a couple of parking. But maybe we can also work with some of the landowners. The city can work with landowners and see what we can do there. But I think it would be good to leave it on.
Well, looking at this sheet, you can see the breakdown of some costs that there is. Right now it's shown as a two-year phase project with primary engineering in the first phase and construction in the second phase.
So would you want to add the first phase? Dollar amount, right. Even though
and you could even break it down further, because notice that I guess that's one of the reasons it was deferred, because see, it shows as a grant that you provided funding to help us try and get grant funding. Maybe it's just some seed money for get some assistance from maybe a consultant to for grant. Searching for what might be out there.
Right.
Certainly, maybe the planning and initial.
Preliminary engineering. So, if you did the preliminary engineering at 10 and the management administration, I mean, that's another option of coming up with 15,000. Mm-hmm. But the way we had it programmed in the CIP is the grant funding, but we didn't get a grant. I don't think we came up with an application that would fit what we were wanting to do here.
Councilmember Stout.
So what you're saying is that regardless of whether we leave it in this plan, we don't have any money for it.
There is REIT money available.
Right. If you look at REIT, the ending fund balance of REIT going back a page, in REIT 1.
REIT 2. It's a REIT 2.
Oh, it's a REIT 2 fund.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah, there is money.
$341,000 available.
Okay. Sorry.
And then what about your staff time? Or is this something we would have to farm out for sure? The consultant?
We may have to.
So would 5 be enough? If we used a consultant, we might need 10?
I would say probably, yeah. Councilor D, I'd say probably 10, just to be on the safe side.
And one other question. When was the last time we invested money in this, in a project here in this location?
2009 and 2010. We replaced the water mains there in 2009 and 2010. We upgraded the street. Mm-hmm. It was gravel shoulders, big puddles, and no street lights, and no sidewalks.
So about 10 years.
Councilmember Page?
Just for the record, I'm in agreement with the other two council members that have voiced support of that.
Okay, so...
So do you want 20... Or 25, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about at least some kind of study to get this thing rolling.
And this would be, so if we put 25,000 out of REIT 2, and I'd like to see if also involve the planning department in this effort.
So we have Andy.
I can't sit silent. On this project, so just for some information.
So between the city and the Transportation Improvement Board, we've invested over $1 million in this road currently today. So there's a couple of issues that we'd have to ultimately deal with. So we got a Transportation Improvement Board grant for this for pedestrians. So we would be very cautious on how we move through the sidewalk area, because that was specifically designed for the type of the way that the parking is. So when people want to eliminate the crosswalk and those large things, that is going to be a high hurdle, a very high hurdle for us to do. But I think holistically, because I do economic development for the city also, is I would like you to think of how we have supported the Lake Sawyer Business Park complex over there. Mm-hmm. Nothing. What have we done to support the commercial development, the community center, all that on Highway 169? We haven't. So I think there's areas that aren't seeing that same sort of infrastructure from the city investing in it that this area has had. We have put significant amount of resources in here. It's the only area where we do hanging baskets. We don't do hanging baskets or flowers to any of the other commercial areas in the entire city. So I'm just talking about fairness here. Mm-hmm. Fairness of that we've put in between the grants and me and Seth have worked this project for a whole lot of years, and it was a very difficult project. Well over $1 million. We didn't do a local improvement. We didn't do a LID. So none of those businesses there, no one paid additional money to do that, where you normally in a city you would do an LID or you would do a local improvement district, and that we couldn't get their support to do that. So I'm just saying, I just ask you to look holistically as how we're supporting the other. We're a unique city here in Black Diamond for a lot of reasons. We are developing out more like a European community where there's going to be subsets of little commercial areas. So we need to be, I'm just asking you to kind of look at holistically to do this. We do need to do a sub-area plan for this. There are some great ideas. We've kicked this around for staff numerous times on how to do this. So when we come forward to that talk about this, it wasn't that we were neglecting this project. It was the idea to holistically work with Barb, myself, and Seth, and come up with a sub-area plan. Where would we put additional parking here? There's some weird land that the city owns there that, quite frankly, splits to other pieces of property that maybe if we were to either sell that property to those two landowners or vacate it, so when you vacate property, you sell it to the two on each side, right, that we could do it so that that property could actually develop. Because right now, you have a piece here, we have a section in the middle of it. It's not harmonious. So that's why as staff, we had discussed about doing a sub-area plan with this to kind of really figure out where long-term we go. So when we did the comp plan before, we didn't require any businesses to have their own parking because there is no area there. And we know there's land that has been speculated for people to build between the, I think called the books there. Yeah, Smoke Cart and the Antsy. So there are issues there, but I'd ask us to look holistically as how we support all the businesses in Black Diamond, how we, so put more money towards wayfinding. That is a great way to get citizens to the other parts of the other districts in the city besides just this area. And so.
So, Councilmember D, so on the sub-area plan that you were discussing and that Seth Botcher brought up, is that a sub-area plan where you look at Lake Sawyer, you're looking at the historic center and up on 169 and coming to a census on what needs to be upgraded in each of those areas, what needs to be.
So we were specifically thinking of this area because we knew that, one, this does get a lot of impact doing a Miner's Day and the Santa Claus days and the Labor Day. We knew this had high impact. Right. We know that this has a high impact thing. But we had discussed of a more a sub-area plan on where is land maybe that we could acquire that would be there, those additional things then revamping what we've currently done or that project. But then, so when you do a sub-area plan, because they can be very detailed, right, very on where you want growth to be, how you want it to grow, what you want the setbacks to be, it becomes a set of design guidelines essentially for that specific area. So we were just contemplating at this time doing one here. We didn't contemplate on what we do at Lake Sawyer or what we do with those other things because this was something that had come up.
So would the council, Councilmember D, so would the council then need to, just like we're talking right now on putting money in for the downtown public parking on the sub-area spot for the downtown, then would council, instead of putting $25,000 in here for a study for the downtown public parking, would we want to wait then, if I got it right, wait until the sub-area plan gets made from staff and then comes forward and says, here's our thought for the area of downtown and we need this much money
So what I would recommend, and Seth, please, you know, interject in here if you want to. I would move what you have programmed for 2019 to 2020 and move those funds, jump them back a year so that we can look at the engineering, because one of the first questions is we're going to have to ask is, through a traffic expert, is what can we do here?
Right.
You know, how we vet through that process and do that. So whether it's designing, engineering, we can use that money for other consultants. You might change that word, call it designing consultants review instead of just technically engineering, and go it like that, because you could use all kinds of services.
There's one.
5,000
at this at preliminary engineering level, yes. There's one other moving piece here in this area, and that is King County Housing has a pending project. They haven't submitted anything, but I would expect in the next year for them to submit to expand their housing. And on the table is that they would provide a parking area for the city in that area. Whether that comes to fruition, so there may be part of the parking problem and puzzle might come out of some things that King County is doing.
So we're in the process of negotiating that with them right now. Yeah, if you have a sub-area plan or you have the documentation, any of those plans, that's your basis for writing all your grants. This is a sub-area plan that's been through, vetted. The council approves this sub-area plan. That's a great basis for any document going forward to get a grant to do those things.
So hearing the new information come forth and not knowing what could come forward from SESA, if there's a plan for future development or whatnot that might help us with that parking issue we have down there. And it's not that we have a major issue where we're like, we need parking right now. No, I mean, we manage. We manage with the events. We manage with the, everything else. We manage for the time being. And I like what you said, Andy, is that what are we doing for the other parts of the city as well? I do believe that that Lake Shore area can have some more attention in that area. I know at 169, you know, there's sidewalks, and as the roundabout comes forth in the future, I would hope those sidewalks continue through 169, pouring in around that roundabout as well. So with that new information, I don't know. I mean, I guess guide us where we should best put that money in our best future, because I'd like to see other areas in the city be just as pleasant as downtown Red Bakery.
So what I understand is take that 25,000, say leave 25,000 into the downtown public parking area, move it up a year, so to 2021, right?
No, he said bring it back. Do it this year.
So I was saying take your 25 and move it to 2020, agreed, Seth? Then move those other funds just for planning purposes into 2021. At that point, we'll have hopefully have a grant or some sort of sub-area plan that we can work on, something that we are concerned of with this. We're concerned for all the businesses, especially with the potential new, you know, the new jewels supposedly coming on that commercial at 10 Trails. Then we can't forget these other sub-areas. But we have a couple of different sub-areas that we have, right? And so just want to make sure we're reflective and care for all of those.
Councilmember Page.
So just to clarify, if we did a sub-area plan, it would be one sub-area plan would be
the downtown
area.
Right. Right.
Another sub-area plan would be
the
Shore area.
They could be, yes. Yes.
And so has there been any planning to do that? I mean, to have multiple sub-area plans?
So currently, me and Seth and Barb are working on a not exactly a sub-area plan, but we are concerned about access onto Highway 169 and how that growth is going to come. And me and Seth and Barb have spent lots of hours working about specific connection points to that highway, right?
And frontage
road work and the interconnectivity of the parking lots, whatever developed there, so that we don't have all these multiple cuts into the highway, right, where traffic's coming. So you might have to go through the roundabout and go around and come back to go into that place. There's all different things. So we essentially started a sub-area plan for that. We would have to go into those steps for those other areas. So we haven't started that yet. This area has had a lot of review and looked at it since the mid-1980s. There's been different plans for this and doing stuff. And as the city grows and we get more matching funds and things happen and you have more staff, you can plan. But we're also doing a sub-area plan for the highway. So I was just using that as an example. So then we'd take that level to look at what could we do around the Lake Sawyer store in that commercial area. How could we do something to improve 169, which is the state highway, which we know the roundabout will come in and change that whole look. But are there beautification things that we can do down there to help those businesses too?
So if I might interject, in the spring we'll be doing a new capital plan. Mm-hmm. And they've identified, we'll start all over again on the CIP and identify and I put little notes to remind myself that we've discussed these. Don't forget to talk about those and get them in a new plan. So those will be things we can look at in the spring to go on and expand for other areas.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so I like the idea for the Lake Sawyer area mm-hmm. down there because it's a really busy area. Mm-hmm. And getting in and out of any of the stores down there is terrifying at times. I would definitely like to see some. I don't know exactly what to do down there, so I would think just listening to hear that the council agrees that something needs to be done. So I would entertain anything being brought forward on updating and improving the Lake Sawyer region, the Lake Sawyer area down there. I assume that once the roundabout starts getting kicked in and moving forward, that the city will then see areas within that corridor that's going to need updating or fixed or entrances worked on or whatever, that it will kind of fall in line on the 169, correct?
Our concern from staff on that, I know we're kind of off topic, but if you don't mind, our concern from staff is the projects are fast coming on our desks. We have mm-hmm. projects on our desks now to develop significant.
So we're having to make decisions ahead of the planning.
Right.
Which ones are you really
things are happening. But it seems to be
right.
Working. I think we've
so I think we'll see things maybe before the roundabout actually comes or working with other ownerships on other roundabouts down for connections and
mm-hmm. yeah.
other roads. There's going to be other roundabouts than just the large one we're building.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the state's preferred. They don't like signals. They don't.
Right.
Want that, you have to prove a roundabout doesn't work. We can make them work. So there are those other issues. So we hopefully will be doing the roundabout within the next 2 years, but there might be other things coming before that. So that's why we're working on the sub-area plan and strategically placing them.
Okay. So, Councilmember D, so I think with that discussion that we do what Mr. Williamson suggested, that we do move it to 2020, the study, correct?
That's next year, so we add yeah. into the 25,000 here.
Yeah, okay. And then,
right?
Thank you.
And I'm wholeheartedly, if we can find quick fix solutions down there, Seth knows we wholeheartedly support that and can try to work through those and look at those things if there's quick type of things that we can do.
Yeah, so. Okay. Councilmember Deedy again. So, also, you know, you mentioned you got King County that has the senior area, and then there's another property owner in that area, and then us. So it would be nice to maybe reach out to the other property owner and just see what their feeling is on that property, and maybe it would be some that the city purchases or that, like you stated in here, that the city sells a piece of property, and those owners of those property want to build something out there. So I think, you know, once the city gets that information, it'll also help figure out what we can do down there, especially up on that embankment there.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit, but feel free to slow me down. So I'm on see that we didn't have the city street funds to come up with 107, so we're going to do a reduced maintenance effort out there. If it's beginning to show cracking, we may shift with seal coat to just crack sealing. So we'll have to see what it's looking like. 232nd, we're awaiting news on a TID grant, so either we will or we won't, depending on grant funding. We set aside funding for traffic impact fee study.
You skipped 224th.
Oh, sorry.
Guardrail, we're going to defer that one.
That one's 224th is being deferred. Anything that was being deferred, I didn't put in this list. List of projects. And the reason it's being deferred is we were going to connect this project to the Covington Creek Culvert project. Mm-hmm. Traffic impact fee study, we currently collect proportionate share funds from projects that impact intersections that do not meet our level of service or that will create an intersection to drop below our level of service.
Okay. Councilor Arditi.
So I just have it on the traffic. For Roberts Drive, just a quick question. So from 10 Trails, I think, to Morgan Street, it was all, that whole road was upgraded, paved.
Yes.
So then you've got from 169 after the library is all the cement, the old
yes.
road. So do we have a time or an idea of when we're going to upgrade,
yes,
finish all that and take it out?
It's on our current six-year kit, but not for next year. That project is probably a $3 million project, three or four. Because it involves some head wall issues along Edgar Creek. There's a culverts there. So it's an expensive project. That the buckets of money available to small cities are not that large.
So council,
once the city is over 5,000, we would have competition with bigger cities, but we would also have they have a lot more funding than the small city program.
So Councilmember D, so within, I'm assuming by the end of next year, we will have hit 5,000 residents.
Possibly.
So so then after 5,000 residents, so let's just say a year, maybe a year and a half, then you would look at that project that's already on the CIP, capital improvement plan, and move that forward with trying to get a grant. So right now we're not trying to get any grants for it. It's sitting there, but we're not.
It's
identified
on there.
Right,
yeah.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. So the traffic impact fee would be an administratively less burdensome way for us to provide equity to within the city and collect funds for capacity adding projects. So this would be the study that we would need to help to fund that and get the ordinance before you.
Public works facility, as many were setting aside to do improvements on their public works facility.
We've continued. There's a lot of work to do out there. It's whether it's a roof 1 year, a wash facility, or moving the offices down there. This year we're putting in the sand bin. There's a long list of improvements that are needed to help facilitate the work of the Public Works Department.
Rock Crypt?
That's a maintenance project. So we would be in getting ready for putting bids out for maintenance in doing the refurbishment underneath and repairs underneath in 2021. So next year would be the engineering and management of the project. The Springs project is in three, actually four phases. We're in the midst of engineering and permitting and on all phases. So that's moving forward. It's funded by the Water Supply Facilities Funding Agreement.
Part.
Yes. The water comp plan is moving forward. We're expecting to turn that into Department of Health in December or January.
And we have carryover funds. We're just carrying forward to continue to complete that.
The 4.3 million gallon tank.
No, fire flow loop.
Oh, I'm
deferred.
Yeah, we're not. I didn't. That's being deferred.
Yes.
Primarily because there's so much development activity in that area that
need to wait and coordinate.
Yeah, coordinate with their work. The 4.3 million gallon tank we weren't able to get to this year, and so we're deferring, rolling over the funds to next year. Water department replacing asbestos water main water lines in Morgan Drive and Union Drive on the south side of Roberts Street in Morganville. These are 6 inch asbestos and about a 1.5 inch galvanized in Union Drive. So we need to improve the fire flow and reliability of the water service in that area. These are very narrow roads. So one benefit also will be the it's not going to be patching the road. We'll, if there is a patch, it's going to be a total overlay for improve the roads there.
We got a $357,000 grant, and then we're going to use that money, that $175,000 I transferred out of water operating to cover the water side of the matching funds there.
So, Councilor Arditi, so when you go in to lay the new pipes down, the asbestos pipe stays and it doesn't get disturbed, and then it'll also bring better pressure for all the citizens down that hook off of that new water line, correct?
Domestic service, I don't think they would notice a difference in their pressure, because there's just not enough friction loss in a 6-inch pipe for the low flows in domestic service. But fire flow would improve. This is through a King County Development Block Grant, which they are somewhat slow in getting their grant agreements. Usually it's May or maybe as late as July for a grant agreement. So engineering would get started next year, but the earliest construction we'd get to construction would be the following year.
The asbestos recoat was deferred. We don't need that one right now.
Where are you?
That was W7. W10, telemetry system improvement. That's continual funds that we're putting towards the continual improvements we need to do on the telemetry. The next, the water power generator facility, electricity.
That would be, we're looking into a feasibility feasibility analysis first.
Okay. Rock Creek Bridge rehab. Well, that's the one.
We already, that was We already looked at that.
That one is a duplicate, and I'm taking it off. It shouldn't have been on my, that's an error I made. It was already listed above the public work capital projects. And then the last is how much is left available in the reserve fund. So if you go way over to the end of line 9 where it says fund balance, even though we're funding several things here, we still have $290,000 left in our water reserve.
And then on to sewer projects, we have engineering and investigation on a maintenance problem line in Cedar Brook. So that's one project in sewers, and this is funded out of REIT.
And it's carryover funds. We already have the money set aside.
So. Okay, thank you.
And then we have a reserve. If you follow that line over, you can see our fund has dwindled to $164,000, and that's when we're transferring $85,000 in next year. So you can see there's not many more years of reserve left.
The Covington Creek culverts, we're in design right now. So next year would be permitting. Permitting is potentially going to bid.
Yeah, deferring the construction to the following years. The North Storm Pond grant, I just said it, we've changed from what was in the original capital.
We're applying for, reapplying for Department of Ecology funding and using King County opportunity funds as for match so we've got to get over a couple hurdles to get sensitive areas thing or ordinance updated to meet state requirements, and that's an eligibility requirement for the Department of Ecology loan. So once we get through this funding maze, then that kind of would waken up this project again.
Gator Creek headwall was deferred, as well as the basin study.
Yes.
And the Eagle Creek pond to park improvement is also deferred. You can only do so many of these projects in a year, and if some of them have availability of grants.
And part of that is that if there's only so much money to go around, so some of the park projects, if we're just entering into a updating the park plan, then do we have the general public support for that project? That'll come out of that park planning process.
And that's really the end of the capital projects. The last few pages on there are just a summary of all the funds that show every single fund in the city, how much money we started with, how much revenue we'll bring in, and then how much expenditures and how much reserve. We don't need to go over that. And also page 22 just shows the staffing kind of by each department. It's one you've already seen in the other document. It has not changed, as well as the last page 23, as on the other document, hasn't changed. This just says last page 24. We're here October 24th. And the next meeting, line 9, is November 7th, where we're going to have a public hearing on property tax and revenue sources. Oh, the work study. We're going to have a work study that day. I apologize.
On the 7th?
Yes. We're going to have a work study at 6 o'clock.
So the public hearing is being moved?
Yes, we're going to move it down. Yes.
So, Councilmember Didi, I have a quick question for Mr. Botcher. So on the Roberts Drive project that's in the CIP for redoing the road where it's cement. Mm-hmm. Is there also a plan at the same time or in coalition with redoing that to continue sidewalks from the library up to the next housing development? That's close to 169. I can't remember the housing name.
Diamond Village.
Diamond Village, yeah. Is there, has there been any discussion,
well,
or is this?
The type, if you go back and look at the CIP, it's sidewalk, curb, gutter, street lights. It's full urban street type project. So there's two different sources. If it's just an overlay, that is pavement preservation type projects. Those are pretty cheap. Major reconstruction, then where you're dealing with stormwater, curb, gutter, sidewalks, and street lights, and landscaping, maybe street trees. Those are much more expensive projects. So you need big pots of money. So that's what was envisioned in waiting until big pots of money were available to fix that street section. Yeah.
And would it be sidewalks would be included in that?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, and whether it's sidewalks on one side or both, that hasn't been determined.
And so far, the city, generally, we've done one side.
Right.
Only.
And that's kind of the stretch. That's kind of to stretch funds. And then for one side where there's the north and west side of a major portion of that was set aside as for open space or growth reserve or some, there was some designation set aside on the Bryant property. So it, at least for foreseeable future, it's probably not going to be developing. And so you don't have pedestrian loading coming from that side. So it would make sense to just put a sidewalk on the south side.
Okay. So just one more comment. You know, our process, every June, he has to have a tip, which is his transportation, all the street projects listed, and you kind of prioritize, and brings it to you, and you adopt it. At the same time, we do the capital plan, and we get them on there and adopt them. So this action tonight was just to look at this specific year and what we could accomplish this year.
Right.
Your plan, sometimes you get grants, sometimes you don't, sometimes staffing. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why your plan didn't exactly happen the year you planned it, because you planned them way 2 years ago. We planned these, so that's why it feels like a little disconnect, but we really have a defined process, and this is just adopting the budget for next year.
Okay. Any other discussion? So I entertain a motion to adjourn.
A second.
Right.
Oh, motion. Oh, yes. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All those approve?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay.
Sorry.
Hey, man.